Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Mist Christian Fellowship Ministry. I am your host, Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open, so you can call 619-639-4733 with your comments, questions, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 619-639-4733. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, God in the Mist, otherwise known as GITM or Get 'Em, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries. Now, home or house churches usually have 20 people or less. Small churches are up to 100 adults, and parachurch ministries are ministries such as Bible studies, prayer groups, men's and women's ministries that are not churches in and of themselves, but walk alongside the church. We are featuring one home, small, or parachurch ministry each month by interviewing the pastors. We hope that as you hear these pastors tell their personal testimonies, share with us the history and current goings on at their church, that the Lord will confirm what He has placed in your heart, or it may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and
y'all tell the people that.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. We make a choice to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord God. Your word says it, when two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And we thank you for being in the midst today, Lord God. We say, Father, have your way. Move to suit yourself. Hallelujah. And we rejoice in advance, giving you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is our part four of our four-part series with Sarah Bowme. Hallelujah. We've had such a great time this month. In part one, we were blessed by her testimony and her sensitivity in the spirit. In part two, we learned how Sarah got started and how her steps were ordered by the Lord to become an author, publisher, the director of the Christian Small Publishers Association, and how more work goes into marketing in the Christian marketplace than writing or even publishing books. And in part three, she shared some very interesting and effective marketing techniques with us. So go back into our archives at blogtalkradio.com, God in the Mist, and check out the archives and see what she said. You will be very interested. Amen. Now, tonight, Sarah will preach the word of God. Hallelujah. We're so excited to hear that. Welcome, Sarah.
Well, thank you, Barbara. It's good to be back with you and your audience tonight.
Yes. Amen. So without further ado, let the Lord use you. Amen.
When I was growing up, I remember when if I would say something like, when I grow up, I'm never going to live in Alaska, marry a farmer, whatever it was, my mom would say, well, that's what God's going to have you do. So every time I said I didn't want to do something, she would say, well, that's what God is going to have you do. So I grew up with a slightly warped view of God. And you know, you always hear the stories about people, they don't want to fully surrender their life to God because if they do, then they're afraid God will move them to Timbuktu and they'll have to serve him out in the sticks someplace with no running water or electricity. And basically my mom sort of instilled that kind of fear of God in me growing up. And it wasn't until I became an adult that I realized that that's not the way God operates. If I say I don't want to do something, he doesn't just make me do it. Actually, he changes my heart first if there's something he wants me to do, so it becomes my desire. So it's not like God saying you have to do this. It becomes my desire. And my whole life where I am now, you know, I shared earlier, I hated marketing in college, and I would look at my friends who were getting marketing degrees and say, how can you stand to do a marketing degree? And look at me now. You know, I educate people on marketing. I've written a book on marketing. I have a whole association that helps people market, and I'm not doing it grudgingly. I'm doing it with passion because God has changed the desire of my heart and made it his desire. I know we so often hear Ephesians 2:8-9 quoted. And that says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But what happens is verse 10 gets left out. And verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you hear that? Says that God prepared good works in advance for you to do.
Hallelujah.
Now just take a minute and let that sink in. God has good works for you to do, and he's prepared those works in advance for you. Let me share a little secret about those good works that God has prepared in advance that he wants you to do. They're going to be out of your comfort zone. See, God pulls us out of our comfort zone so that he can cause us to grow. He wants to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus Christ. And he can't do that when we're comfortable. He's got to get us out of our comfort zone so that he can cause us to grow. And I guarantee you, that those good works that God has prepared in advance for you, you won't feel equal to the task. And tonight I want to look at the story of Moses and God's call on his life for the good work that God had prepared in advance for Moses to do. And most of you already know Moses' story. He was born an Israelite during the Israelites' captivity for 400 years in Egypt, where they were slaves. At the time he was born, Pharaoh wanted the midwives to kill all the baby boys because the Egyptians were afraid that the Israelites were growing so big and that there would be war and they would rise up. But the midwives feared God, and they wouldn't kill the baby boys, and so Pharaoh ordered his soldiers to drown the baby boys in the river. Also, when Moses' mother had him, she thought he was a beautiful baby, and she didn't want him to die, and so she hid him. And she actually hid him in a little boat in the river, and the Egyptian princess, Pharaoh's daughter, came down to the river and saw Moses. And her heart went out to him, and she loved him, and she decided to adopt him as her own. And so she raised him in the palace as an Egyptian prince. Well, at age 40, Moses, who had some feelings toward the Israelites, his people, didn't like to see them mistreated and saw an Egyptian guard mistreating Israelites. And in his anger, he killed the Egyptian guard. And then he discovered that it had been found out, and so he fled Egypt, and he lived in the desert for 40 years as a shepherd. And that's where we're going to pick up the story today, in Exodus 3. And if you'd like, you can turn in your Bible, or you can just listen as I read this part of the story. It says in Exodus 3, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I'll turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned.' When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Well, I'm sure glad bushes don't talk to me. I think I was crazy. And then he said, 'Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you're standing is holy ground.' And he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.'" Notice what God says to Moses here. He says, "Come." When God calls you or me to do the good work he's prepared in advance for us, he doesn't order or command us. He invites us, just like he invited Moses. Come. Come. And next you'll notice in the passage that Moses does not feel equal to the task. God is calling him out of his comfort zone. And Moses says, God says, "But I will be with you." Oh, yeah. But Moses says to God, Moses says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" See, he doesn't feel equal to the task. Who am I? Who am I that I should go? Who am I that I should do this thing, God, that you're calling me to do? But God answers him and says, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this very mountain." And then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Okay, so now Moses doesn't feel equal to the task, but now he's got questions for God too, because God's called him to do something big, out of his comfort zone, and he's got questions. And the same will happen with you and I when God calls us to do something. He's going to invite us. We're not going to feel equal to the task, and we're going to have questions. But here's the neat thing. God answers our questions, just like he answered Moses' questions. Now, and we may ask, "What exactly is it you want me to do, God? How am I supposed to accomplish this task?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to remember throughout the generations.'" And then the next verses 16 to 22 of chapter 3 here, God tells Moses exactly what he's to do and what is going to happen, which is, fortunately, Moses got more than we usually get. God doesn't usually tell us exactly what he's going to do and what's going to happen when he invites us to do the work that he prepares for us. He doesn't usually tell us the outcome like he told Moses. But interestingly, even with that, Moses is still afraid to do it, still afraid to step out of his comfort zone and do it, just like you and I so often are when God calls us and invites us to do something. And so Moses shares his fear with God. And he says, but Lord, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. Isn't that how what we fear too? That people will say, God didn't really tell you to do that. Come on now. Because it's going to sound odd to other people too, because it's out of everyone's comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But just like his power was with Moses, God's power will be with you also. And God responds by giving Moses his signs of power. First of all, he shows him. He says, throw your staff down, and the staff becomes a snake. And he says, pick it back up. And Moses picks it back up, and it becomes a staff again. And then he says, put your hand in your cloak. And he puts his hand in his cloak, and he pulls it out, and it's white with the leprosy. And God tells him, put it back in again. He pulls it out, and it's healed. And so God is showing Moses that, yes, you're scared. Yes, you have fear. You have questions. You're out of your comfort zone. But I will be with you, and I am the power behind you. And the same is true for us when we step out of our comfort zone to do what God is calling us. God will be with us. His power will be with us.
Hallelujah.
But you know what? Moses still does not want to get out of his comfort zone. He's scared. And he doesn't feel up to the job, right? So now what does he do?
Mm-hmm.
He gives God an excuse. And Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. You know what? We're the same way. When God calls us, we want to provide an excuse. Oh, Lord, I don't know how to do that. Lord, it's going to cost me too much money. Right? We want to provide an excuse. But, you know, here's the cool thing. Is God patiently removes Moses' excuse. And here's what God says. Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. I just love God's response there.
Yes.
I think it's going to be the same for us. He says, I have created you to do this thing, and I will be with you. And so often don't we say that, oh, Lord, I can't write very well. I don't know how to lead people. I don't know if I can speak, right? And God says, no, I'm going to be with you. I have created you to do this very good work that I have prepared in advance for you to do. You know, personally, I don't believe Moses had trouble speaking. Some authorities on the word will say, oh, he stuttered or there was trouble speaking. I think it was just an excuse. I think he felt weak, you know. Because if you look later on in the Bible, Moses is doing most of the talking in Exodus. He does tons of talking to the people of Israel and preaching to them in Deuteronomy. He's got no trouble. So either one thing happened. He wasn't weak in the area and it was just an excuse. Or when he stepped out in faith, God met him and gave him the ability.
Hallelujah.
That's what God does for us. But Moses did not feel like he could do the job. And yet, here's the interesting piece. All his life was preparing him for this job. Think about it. He was raised in the palace, so he knew the customs, the procedures that would be needed to go and talk to Pharaoh, right? Exactly what he would need to gain an audience with Pharaoh. Can you imagine he comes back? Look, the long-lost prince has come back, and it would gain him an entrance with Pharaoh right away, right? He had the desire to help his people. 40 years before, at age 40, what did he do? He hated seeing the Israelites mistreated, and so he killed an Egyptian guard out of his anger. So he already had the desire to help his people, and he had the training by being raised in the palace. And then get this, this is the other cool thing. For 40 years, he lives in the desert as a shepherd. God was training him to lead the people of Israel to live in the desert for 40 years and wander.
Hallelujah.
Because God knew that that would happen. So his whole life was preparing him for this task. And yet, when the call and the invitation came from God, what does he say? Who am I? I'm not equal to this task. And the same is true for you and me. When God's call comes, God's been preparing us for it, and we don't see it. All we can see is, oh, it's such a big thing. It's out of my comfort zone. How am I going to do this? and we're scared, just like Moses was scared, right? And so what does Moses finally say because he's scared? He's asked God questions. God's answered his questions. He's given God an excuse. God has removed the excuse. And so now what does he do? He says, in verse 4:13, he says, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Oh, isn't this like us? Doesn't that sound like you and me? "Oh, I'm not qualified, Lord. Send someone else, someone more qualified." And guess what? God gets angry. He's been patient up until this time, and now he's angry. And the passage says in verse 14, "Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." But here's the cool thing about God. He still understands that we are frail creatures. He understands that Moses was scared and that Moses didn't want to do this and that it was going to be hard. And more than that, he understood that Moses didn't want to do it alone, that he needed support, someone to come alongside him and to help him. And so God says, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you both what to do." So here's the really cool thing. God invites us, right? Calls us out of our comfort zone. He gives us a task that we don't feel equal to. But he says, "I will be with you." But not only will he be with us and his power with us to do whatever task he's calling us to do, that good work that he prepared in advance. Here's a neat thing. He won't make you do it alone. He'll send people to help you, people to encourage you, people to support you, people to draw alongside you and work with you, just like he sent Aaron to help Moses. And God does this. I'm a testimony to God bringing someone along to help. I met Apostle Barbara on June 24th. And she said that God had called her to do this radio show, God in the Midst, this ministry that she does. And she said to me on June 24th, I don't have anyone lined up yet for July. I'm still waiting for God to bring the person along. And I really feel like God has brought you along and you are the person. You know, so God placed our paths together to meet just at the right time to meet her in the work that he's called her to do. And, you know, he didn't bring me along 3 months in advance. He brought me along just in the right amount of time, just in his time. And that's what he does for us, too. He brings along someone to help us in the good work that he has called us to do just at the right time, the time that he has prepared. And we have to just trust and rely on him that he will do that.
Amen.
So I want you to be encouraged today because God may be calling you to do a good work. Maybe he's just in the preparing process right now and you feel like you're in a desert wandering, you know, around. Be encouraged because know that God is preparing you for the good work that he has prepared in advance for you to do and that he's just in the preparing process. After all, he prepared Moses for 80 years before his big work. But God may also be calling you today to do a good work, a specific work that he wants you to do. That he's prepared for you. Maybe it's to write a book. Maybe it's to teach a class. Maybe it's to start a new ministry. So I want you to know when the invitation comes, it's going to be out of your comfort zone. That's how you know it's from God. It's out of your comfort zone. You're not going to feel equal to the task. But take comfort in knowing that God has prepared this task for you and he has prepared you for the task. Take comfort in knowing that God is going to be with you and his power is going to be with you to accomplish the good work he has for you. And take comfort in knowing that God is going to send others to help you and support you in the work that he has for you to do.
And thank you for listening.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, that was for me. Amen. I know other people were blessed by it and will be blessed in the future by it, but I can say that the word of the Lord was for me today, because we do see other things coming up, and, you know, was thinking, oh, God, how can we do what we're doing right now and do what we see in the future that's going to be done. Mm-hmm. But as always, and I'm so in agreement with you with everything that you said. Yes, he invites us. He calls us out of our comfort zone. He equips us. We're equipped already. And he's with us. He won't let us do it alone. And he's always right on time with it. The timing is perfect. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for a wonderful, wonderful word from the Lord. Hallelujah. And I know that you have walked out that word yourself.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And when God gave it to me, I thought, oh, no, Lord, I hope you're not preparing me for something new by giving me this word again.
Now, you know he is.
I know he will.
And I just thought, before we got on the air, the prayer, as I was praying for you, and in the vision, in this vision, I just saw all these doors opening for you, just doors, just swinging wide open for you. Amen.
Amen.
So I would say yes. You are perceiving correctly. Now, we do have some people on the line. If you would like to speak, if you'd like to say something, please press your number one key now, and I will know that you're in the queue. And I know she encouraged you, so I would say if you would like to respond to the encouragement that you received today, press your number one key and, let her know that you were encouraged, or, and even encourage the woman of God. Hallelujah. So we'll give you a few moments to press your number one key. And to be able to say something, don't be shy. And as you're thinking about that, let me just make a couple of announcements here. Well, God has blessed the God in the Mist radio show with sponsors, hallelujah, that will partner with us as we go to the next level in our broadcast. So beginning in August, God in the Mist is moving to prime time. Hallelujah. Prime time is, well, around 9 o'clock Central Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And also we're expanding. We were a half an hour to 45 minutes, but now we're going to be at least 1 hour. Hallelujah. So we're looking forward to that, and we see that God, yes, he has opened the door for us as well. Now, next Thursday, it's August the 1st, we will have Pastor Ursel Davis. She's the pastor of Divine Revelation Christian Center in St. Louis, Missouri. This blessed woman of God is a two-time cancer conqueror. Cancer conqueror who not only survived, but by the Spirit of the true and living God is thriving, pastoring a church, and she's an entrepreneur. So join us next Thursday. You will surely be blessed. Amen. Amen. So, Sarah, we have someone who has pressed their number one key, so let's see what they're saying. This is area code 315-915. We're going to open your line now.
Good evening, Apostle Kizzy.
Well, good
evening. This is Pastor Ursel Davis.
Hallelujah. Our speaker for next month, praise the Lord. Welcome.
Amen. Praise God. I just want to encourage the woman of God for such a rhema word. She was so encouraging this evening and definitely on point, because that word was so rhema for me because of the new realm in which God has called me to. And it was just so encouraging to hear the woman of God say that even though you're afraid that you're not doing it alone, and how she brought out the points that if God has appointed you, he's already anointed you, and that he will equip you to do what he has called you to do, and he'll give you the grace to do it. So just walk out in faith. It was just amazing how the woman of God let us know that there are some things that God is going to call us to that we're going to have to do, and we may be afraid, but we're going to have to do them afraid, but understanding that we're not doing them alone. We have a helper with us. God has sent his spirit to be with us. He has given us the wisdom and the knowledge to do it. He's going to send people alongside of us. So it was definitely an encouraging word for me. So I just want to encourage the woman of God tonight and tell her to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Go ahead and soar to higher heights. You don't hang out with turkeys. You run with the eagles. And so God is taking you just a little bit higher. And go ahead and go higher and get ready for all of these doors that are opening for you right now as God begins to do a divine expansion in your life and in your ministry. I praise God for you this evening.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for that word of encouragement.
Amen. Woo, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. So before we leave tonight, and thank you so much, Pastor Davis. We really appreciate you. God bless you.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I clicked off your line before you finished. So, but God bless you, Pastor. Thank you again so much. So, as we get ready to close tonight, we're just going to say, Sarah, just pray as the Lord leads you to pray.
Okay. Father God, you are an awesome God.
And
it boggles my mind to think that you have prepared in advance for us these good works for us to do, for you, for your kingdom, and for your glory, but also for our sanctification, so that we can be like Jesus Christ, that we can be holy and pure, so that we can live with you throughout eternity. And Lord, we know it's your blood that makes us pure, but also it is you working out your salvation in us through the good works that you have prepared for us to do. And Father, I just pray tonight for anyone who's listening who might be in Moses' shoes right now, who might be saying, oh, Lord, how can I do this? Oh, Lord, I don't do this very well. I can't do this. Oh, Lord, please send somebody else. I pray right now that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, and that you would help them know that they are equal to the task because you are working with them to do this thing that you have prepared, and that when they step out in faith, you will meet them, and they will be blown away by what you will do through them. Because it is you working through us, Lord, to accomplish your good and perfect will on this earth. And Lord, we don't understand why you choose to work through us, but we thank you. And we pray that you would help us be submitted to you, submitted to your will, and that you would give us the courage to step out in faith when you call us to do that good work that you have prepared for us. And I just pray that you would bless Apostle Barbara and her ministry. Thank you that you are continuing to bless it as she steps out in faith and that you are moving it forward. And I pray that you would continue to bless her and bless the ministry and bless the people. And just throw open the floodgates for the audience, Lord, that more and more people would listen and more people would come and be encouraged and just grow closer to you. We just pray your blessings would be poured out from heaven upon this ministry and upon Apostle Barbara. Thank you, Father God, in your holy, precious, awesome name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you have any other closing remarks before we end the show tonight?
Just to encourage people, you know, it is scary to step out, especially, you know, we've been talking about publishing and writing, and so that's kind of on my heart, and we've talked to some people over the last month who've said, you know, I feel like God has given me something, but maybe it's not the time, or maybe I don't have the skills, that if God continues to call you, step out in faith, and he will meet you, and he will bring along the help you need to accomplish the task that he's called you to do.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? I can see myself coming back to this archive and just listening to it every now and then, you know, if I need a nudge or a push. And so thank you. And if I need just a little encouragement or a lot of encouragement to come back and listen to this. So thank you so much, Sarah, for being with us this month. I'm going to miss you. But I know we have to go on, so I'll call you every now and then just to say hello.
Well, good.
So thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to all of you for joining us today. When you have an opportunity, please go to the Blog Talk Radio God in the Mist website and listen to this broadcast and this entire series on our on-demand archives. If you are involved in a home, small, or parachurch ministry, please contact us at gitm4god@gmail.com. That's getemforgod@gmail.com. You can also meet us on Facebook. Amen. And that would be just go into Facebook and do a search on God in the Mist. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you once again for joining us, and have a blessed night. Hallelujah.
Y'all tell the people them, don't you?